reading from the Jivadharma, chapter 14, at least on my book, it's page 325, Prameya Shakti Tattva. Brajanath, there is one thing I wish to know concerning Dham Tattva. Kindly tell me, why do Vaishnavas refer to Navadvip as Sridham? Omagana Timurandasya Janantina Shilakaya Daksur and Bhavatam Yena Asmai Si Gurve Namaha Vite Tanya Mano Vistam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Siddhati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarupyascha Vipashindu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. We just had a wonderful Bhakti Immersion Retreat. So nice, after so many years, you do these retreats, but every morning there's at least 30 people chanting japa, many for the first time. And it was just a wonderful immersion in bhakti. And advancement means immersion, because the extent that you advance in bhakti is the degree you're immersed in the object of devotion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that every object, I repeated this many times, or vastu, or thing, as a shakti, and objects and acts of devotion have a bhakti shakti. They can. And therefore, you know, in the Yoga Sutras, when it describes what is practice, it's concentrated without interruption for a long time and in the right mood. We had a very, very nice bhakti immersion, and now I'm fortunate enough to take my post-bhakti immersion vacation in the Sun Falls, Stuyvesant Falls, and catch up on so many things. Now, we've been reading Jivadharma. I also have two guests staying with me, so I have like an audience to look at. And Michael and Shyam Sundari, have you ever heard of the book Jivadharma? Yeah, it's an amazing book. It's the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness after the generation after Lord Chaitanya to a kunj of very renounced and advanced Babaji's. And according to who the person is, and people who've been on this Sangha have heard this, but I'll just repeat it to them. According to who the person is, they require a different subject to, or tattva, to be explained or clarified to remove their doubts to come further. For example, if someone is in a high-class Brahmin family, he may need the tattva of varnashram explained to him. Otherwise, he'll think that, you know, qualification is based on birth. We may not need that tattva. If someone's a materialist, they may need another tattva. The first person that comes is a mayavadi. He doesn't need to hear you're not the body, but he needs to know the relationship of the soul with God. So in this way, in this book, as the various people are coming to Krishna consciousness, all the tattvas or subjects of Krishna consciousness are completely and systematically described. And now we're in the story of one logician who, a very interesting story, he was defeating everyone. And everyone became very envious and afraid of him. So one logician performed some tantric rites to curse him, that he'll never, argue Yaya logic again. But the way the curse was fulfilled is he became interested in Lord Chaitanya, who's a great logician. So he began to study Lord Chaitanya. But he became attracted in Lord Chaitanya, and he became so attracted that he gave up his desire to be a logician. And now he's actually being instructed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he's going to Babaji Maharaj to learn Dasamula. Dasamula are the 10 core subjects of Krishna consciousness. I think they may have been written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he's using them in the novel. They're the 10 core subjects of Krishna consciousness. Both pramana, evidence, and prameya, what is to be known by your evidence. So discussing this, it says prameya. So he asked the Babaji to explain to him, and so now he's explaining the first subject of Shakti Tatra. It's an amazing book, because this Vrajanath will realize his relationship with Krishna, and now we'll follow him for the rest of the book. And he'll learn everything from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Nilamani, to the highest subjects. It's an incredible book. And if you really want to understand the tattva, or the science of Krishna consciousness, this is really a book to study. So he explained Shakti Tattva, and that in the absolute reality, there is Shakti, and that's against Mayavadi philosophy, which believes there's no distinction in the absolute truth. Absolute reality. But our conception is Jagmad Yasya Yataha. It is from God whom everything else is coming. So there's energies. Parasya Shaktai Dividaya Suyate. There's energies that are emanating. And then he begins to describe those energies. And basically there's a Sarup Shakti, also known as the Parashakti. And that's basically Radha. And it's a little complex, but basically it has three divisions. There's three main energies called Chit Shakti, the spiritual energy, Maya Shakti, which is Jiva Shakti, which is an infinitesimal spark of the Chit Shakti. And there's the Maya Shakti, which is a shadow of the spiritual energy. So there's basically matter, spirit, and the controller of both. And they're influenced by three other Shaktis. This is confusing right now? Yes, it will be. But it's so interesting. There's a cognitive potency, Samvit Shakti. There's an existential potency, Sandini Shakti. And there's a pleasure poetry called Vajini Shakti. And they influence both the internal potency, the spiritual potency, the Chit Shakti, the Jiva, and the material world. I'm not going to explain that, but it's very fascinating. But anyway, it's super fascinating, at least to me. And so what's going on here now is somehow or other, I'm not sure how it is in the discussion, because from the discussion of Shakti, so many subjects are. So now he somehow gets to the point of Dham Tattva. And why is it called Sri Dham? So the Babaji answers, Sri Navadvipa Dham and Sri Vrindavan Dham are non-different from each other, and Mayapur is the highest truth within Mayapur Dham. The relationship of Sri Mayapur to Navadvipa is the same as the relationship to Gokul to Vraja. So Vraja is the whole thing, and Gokul is specifically where Krishna is born, you know, the center where he does his infinite pastime. That's Gokul. So Mayapur is the Mahayoga pit, the great meeting place of Navadvip. According to the shloka Chana Kalo of Srimad Bhagavatam, the planetary avatar of Bhagavan who appears in Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is covered, and similarly his holy opposed are also covered. So there's a verse that describes Lord Chaitanya, then Kali Yuga will be a Chana avatar. Chana means he'll be hidden. He's hidden. Lord Chaitanya is kind of hidden because he comes as a devotee. He doesn't come as God. So he's hidden in the guise of a devotee. His holy abodes are also covered. In Kali Yuga, no other holy place is equal to Navadvip Dham. Only one who can realize the transcendental nature of this Dham is actually qualified for Vajras. So you can't enter into Vrindavan unless you understand Navadvip. Unless you understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God trying to realize Vrindavan. God trying to realize his relationship with himself, actually, trying to experience a devotee's love. So unless you enter that and enter and I try to understand and serve the God who's trying to realize Vrindavan, you can never realize Vrindavan. Because when you serve someone, you have to enter into their heart and take their desires. So if you serve them nicely, they'll reveal their heart to you. So by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reveals to you his heart, which is his love for Krishna and Vrindavan, which is his Buddha Radha. So, and Narottam Das Thakur sings in one bhajan that one who enters into the ocean of the Sankirtan pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu winds up on the shore of the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Sam Sindri, that's why it's so nice that you develop this relationship with Nithai Sachi Sita. Is it? What's the name of the deities? Yeah, it's so nice that you've developed that because it's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mercy, because it's actually the way to enter. Otherwise, you can't understand it. You have to understand it from the platform of service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, from an external material point of view, both Vrajadham and Navadvipdham appear to be mundane. Only those who spiritualize have by some good fortune been open can see the Dham as it is. Vrajanath, I want to know the Sarup of this Navadvip Dham. You know what Sarup means? What? What's that? What? No, Sarup means form. It's form. It's its own form. It's real internal nature. That's basically. So Babaji, Goloka, Vrindavan, and Sweta Dweep are the inner compartments of Parvyoma, the spiritual sky. Sri Krishna's Swakya Leela takes place in Goloka. You know what Swakya means? There's two types of relationships, Swakya and Parakya. Swakya means your own. You have relationships with your own, and Parakya is you have your relationships with others. So parakya means paramoras. It means unwedded love. And swakya means wedded love. So he's saying in Golok, there's only married love. And in Vrindavan, there is his parakya lila takes place in Vrindavan. And it's Parishishta Sampar Leela takes place in Swetadweep. In Tattva, there is no difference between these dhams. Navadweep is really Swetadweep, so it is not different from Vrindavan. The residents of Navadvipa are very fortunate for their associates of Sri Gauranga Dev. One can only attain residence of Navadvipa after performing many pious activities. Some rasa is not manifested in Vrindavan, but that very rasa is manifested in Navadvipa as a supplement of Vrindavan rasa. One experiences that rasa only when one becomes competent to relish it. The English is not clear on that. I'd have to study that. But how large is Navadvipa Dham? The area of Navadvipa Dham is 16 krosha and is shaped like a lotus flower with 8 petals, which are the 8 islands. Samantadvipa, Bodhramdvipa, Madhyadvipa, Kuladvipa, Koladvipa, Pitadvipa, Chanudvipa, Modrumadvipa, and Rudradvipa. Antwadvipa, which is situated in the center of these islands, is like the whorl of the lotus flower, and Sri Mayapur is situated at the very heart of this Antwadvipa. It's amazing that Prabhupada made the headquarters in Sri Dham Mayapur. Do you like Mayapur? Even though it was freezing cold, no hot water, no problem. Well, because if you were before, it's like temperature's perfect, so. But it just shows you, you know, happiness is not the environment, it's consciousness. And sometimes when you perform austerities, then you it detaches you from the body. Because even though you get pleasures from the body, there's also suffering. It's not like people in Kali don't suffer. You know, on one level they don't. Right? But then when it's so nice you become attached to the body, and then on the other level you suffer more. So sometimes when people live in environments that are a little bit more austere, they become more detached from the body, so they don't experience as much pleasure, but they don't experience as much pain. So, the Mahayoga Pit, the residence or mandir of Sri Jagannath Mishra, is situated in the center of Mayapur, and it's this way. One can quickly attain love of Krishna by performing sadhana, bhajan, and Navadvipa Dham, and especially in Mayapur. The Mahayoga Pit, the residence or mandir of Sri Jagannath Mishra, is situated in the center of Mayapur, and in this very yoga pit, the most fortunate of all jivas always take darshan of Sri Gauranga Dev's Nitya Leela. Prajanath, are the pastimes of Gauranga Dev a work of the Sarup Shakti? Now, what's the Sarup Shakti? It's the main potency of God. And all of the potencies are divisions of the Sarup Shakti. Sri Gaura's pastimes are arranged by the same Shakti who arranges Krishna's pastimes. There's no difference between Sri Krishna and Gauranga Dev. Sri Sarup Gaura Damodar, Sri Sarup Goswami says, Radha Krishna Pranayav, the Kritir Ladini Shaktir Asmat, Kekatmana Bhapi Bhubipara Dehi Dam Katauta. This is like a very famous verse by Sarup Damodar. It's the most, one of the most famous verses. It's mentioned right in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in its introduction. There are 14 or 17 introductory verses. And this is one of the verses that describe who is the Tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna are intrinsically one, however they are manifest eternally in two forms through the influence of Ladini Shakti in the form of their Pranaya Vikar, transformations of love, because of the eternality of their pastimes, Vilas Tattva. Now these two tattvas are manifest in one sroop in the form of Chaitanya. Therefore, I bow down to this sroop of Krishna that is endowed with the loving sentiments and love of Srimati Radhika. So he's asking, is it manifest by the sroop Shakti? He's saying, look, Rangadev is none different than Radha and Krishna. There's one sroop, there's one. Radha and Krishna are this one absolute reality which eternally, for the influence of Ladini Shakti, for the purpose of exchanging love. And now these two have become one again in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So that's what he's telling him. So they're both now, there's one, our absolute reality is like, I call it cha-cha tattva. 1-2-1, 1-2-1. It's one absolute reality, then manifest into two for the purpose. It's one, that's God, Advayam Gyan, it's consciousness, which is inclusive of everything. But it's two for the exchange of love. And then it becomes one for the purpose of experiencing that love. You got it? You want me to say it again? What? Well, you know what? What? You got it? Okay. The absolute reality must be one. It must be Advayam Gyan, consciousness, which is inclusive of everything. It must be also two, Radha and Krishna, for the purpose of enjoyment, of love. Right? As God is experiencing the love of Radha. And then it must become one again. God must be again become Radha to experience that love. So it's 1-2-1. Because without becoming his own devotee, then God never experiences love of himself, which is the highest pleasure. I'll explain it again. God must be one, right? Nothing can be outside of God. But to enjoy love, God must expand into Radha and Krishna, because love entails a mutual exchange. But then God has to become one again to experience love of himself. And that's Gauranga. Gauranga is Radha and Krishna combined. So that answers the question of these, of the pastimes of Gauranga, a work of the Sroop Shakti. And the answer is, who is Gauranga? He is Radha and Krishna, which is the internal potency. Got it yet? Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are both eternally manifest. It cannot be determined which of them came early and who came later. First Chaitanya was there, and then Radha Krishna manifested, and now they have merged together again and appeared in the form of Chaitanya. The understanding of this statement is not that one of them existed earlier and the other appeared later. Both manifestations are eternal. They are present for all time and exist for all time. All the pastimes of the Supreme Truth are eternal. Those who think that one of these pastimes is principal and the other is secondary are ignorant of the truth and devoid of rasa. In other words, although there's a sequential event, you can't state that one comes before the other. It's like the sun and the sun rays. It's not like the sun came and then the sun rays. The sun is the sun rays. So you can't. They're all eternally existing. So it's, from material time, it looks like it's sequential, but it all has to be an eternal event. They must be all existing simultaneously. Make sense? Okay. Vrajanath, if Sri Gaurangadev is directly the complete plenary truth, then what is the process of his worship? You hear this? You want to take rest? Okay, you sure? Or walk? Okay, sure. Worshipping Gaura by chanting Gaur-Naam mantra awards the same benefit as worshipping Krishna by chanting his holy names in Krishna-Naam mantra. Worshipping Gaura through the Krishna mantra is same as worshipping Krishna by the Gaura mantra. Those who believe there is a difference between Gaura and Krishna are extremely foolish. They are simply servants of Kali. Can you change the name of the city? Where can one find the mantra of the hidden avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Babaji, the tantra which contains the mantra of the manifest avatars also contains the mantra of the hidden avatar in a secret way. Those whose intelligence is not crooked can understand it. Vajranath, by what method is Gauranga worshipped as Yugala in a dual form? Babaji, Sri Gauranga's Yugala is formed in one way in the Archana process, another way in the Bhajan process. Sri Gaur Vishnu Priya worshipped in the process of Archana, and in the process of Bhajan, one performs Seva to Sri Gaur Gadadhar. So Vishnu Priya is the wife, Lord Chaitanya. So he says, Archana is like deity worship, and Bhajana is kind of, you know, something more eternal. Somehow he says you worship Vishnu Priya. Of course, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he used to worship Gaura Gadadhar, not Gaura Gadadhar. Gaura Gadadhar is Radha in Gaura Lila. This is pretty esoteric stuff, so let's see if we get something. Vajranath, what? Which Shakti of Sri Gauranga is Sri Vishnu Priya? The Bhaktas generally refer to her as Bhushakti. However, in reality, she is the Sundit potency combined with the essence of Ladini. In other words, she is the personified form of Bhakti who has descended to assist Gaura Avatar in the work of spreading Srinam. So what that means is, what Shakti she is? She's Bhakti. And what is Bhakti? It's Samvit Ladini Shakti. Samvit is the cognitive potency by which you have a bhava or understanding of your relationship with God. And Ladini is the pleasure potency by which that love achieves the highest thing. So you both have, so these, it's described as the platform of bhava when one is sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness. Then at a particular time, his eternal relationship with Krishna awakens, watered by the energy of the Samvit Ladini Shakti that descends from God into one's heart, and that's called bhava. Just as Navadvip Dham is the personified form, sarup, of the ninefold process devotional service, Navada Bhakti, so Vishnu Priya is also the sarup of Navada Bhakti. So you see the deity of Vishnu Priya Dhamma. Didn't see that. It never did. That was the deity of Vishnu Priya when Lord Chaitanya left home. I don't think so. It's today. Okay, Hare Krishna, Dhanadhara Swami is back. We'll finish this very mystical and difficult to understand section. Vajranath. Can Vishnu Priya Devi be called the Sarup Shakti? So the Sarup Shakti is God's internal potency. So can he be called? Can she be called that? Babaji, how can there be any doubt about this? Is the combination of Samvit and the essence of Ladini Shakti, anything but the Sarup Shakti, the internal potency. Prajanath, Prabhuji, I will soon learn to worship Sri Gaura. I've just remembered something else that I would like you to please explain to me clearly. You explained that the Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti are three manifestations of the Sarup Shakti, and that Ladini, Sambit, and Sandini are three functions, vrittis, of the Sarup Shakti, and that these three functions, namely Ladini, Sambit, and Sandini, act on the three manifestations, Chit, Jiva, and Maya Shakti. All of this is simply the work of Shakti. Apart from this, the spiritual world, the spiritual body, and the spiritual perfection, pastime, are all indication of Shakti alone. And what is the indication of Shaktiman Krishna? So he's saying there's Shakti and Shaktiman. There's the possessor of potency, and there's the potency. So he's describing everything seems to be the potency. So what is Shaktiman Krishna? Right? What is it? Babaji, this is a very difficult problem. Do you want to kill this old man with the sharp arrows of your argument? My dear son, the answer is as simple as the question, but it's difficult to find a person as qualified to understand it. Anyway, I shall explain it to you, so please try to understand. I agree that Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes all indicate the function of Shakti. If everything is a Shakti, then what's the Shaktiman? It's like if the rose, if you take away its qualities, if you take away its Shakti, then what's the rose? It's not red, it's not fragrant, it doesn't have form. What is it? Right? So if you take away the Shakti, everything is just Shakti Tattva, then what is Krishna? It's a difficult problem. I agree that Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes all indicate the function of Shakti. However, freedom, Swatantrata, and free will, Icha Mayata, are not the work of Shakti. They are both intrinsic activities of the Supreme Person, and Krishna is that Supreme Person who has free will and is in the abode of Shakti. So what he's explaining is the Shakti, there's free will and there's freedom and free will, and they're not the work of Shakti. They're the work of Shaktiman. So it's saying that the will and everything comes from Krishna. Yeah, this is, I don't know if anybody's going to call in again after this. This is a little technical. Shakti is the enjoyed, and Krishna is the enjoyer. Shakti is dependent, but Krishna is independent. Shakti surrounds an independent person at all sides, but he is always conscious of Shakti. The independent Purusha is the master of Shakti, even though he is covered by Shakti. Human beings can only realize that the Supreme Person, Parama Purush, by taking shelter of that Shakti. That is why the conditioned jivas cannot realize the identity of Shaktiman independently from realizing the identity of Shakti. However, when the bhaktas develop love for Shaktiman, they are able to perceive him who is beyond Shakti. Bhakti is a form of Shakti, and that is why she has a female form. Being under the guidance of Krishna's internal potency, Sarup Shakti, she experiences the pastimes of the Purusha. These pastimes indicate that Krishna is possessed of both free will and the intrinsic quality of being the predominating enjoyer. Vajranath, if we accept a tattva beyond Shakti that is devoid of characteristics by which it can be identified, that tattva would be the same as the Brahman described in the Upanishads. So he's saying, if you take away the Shakti, is Krishna is the Shaktiman, the possessor of the Shakti, just Brahman, right? So this is the tough question he asked. Babaji, the Brahman of the Upanishads is devoid of desires, but Krishna, the Parama Purusha, who is described in the Upanishads, is actually composed of free will, So Icha Maya, there's a big difference between the two. Brahma is Nivishesha without any attributes. Conversely, even though Krishna is distinct from the Shakti, he is Sabishesha, possessed of form and attributes. Please, he has the quality of Purushatva, manhood, Bhoktatva, being the enjoyer, Adhikarta, authority, and Swatantrata, independence. In reality, Krishna and Shakti are non-different. The Shakti that indicates Krishna's presence is also Krishna, because Krishna Kamini Shakti, in the form of Sri Radha, manifests our identity in a female form. Krishna is the one who is served, and the supreme Shakti, Sri Mataji, is his Seva Dasi. Their individual Abhiman self-conceptions are the only tattva that differentiates them. So, I am Radha, I am Krishna. That's the only difference. Otherwise, they're one. You can't separate the flower from the fragrance. So you really can't separate Krishna from his Shaktis. But if you separate Krishna from his Shaktis, Krishna has will. Krishna has freedom. But you really can't separate the fragrance from the rose. So they're really one. Although there's a Shakti, an energy, and the possessor of it. But if you have a rose and you take away the fragrance, you take away the form, you take away, you know, what do you have left? Vajranath, if Krishna desires, if Krishna's desire and capacity to enjoy indicate the form of the Purusha, what is Srimati Radhika's desire, Babaji? Srimati Radhika's desire is subordinate to Krishna's, None of her desires or efforts are independent of his desires. Krishna has desires, and Srimati Radhika desires to serve Krishna according to his desires. Srimati Radhika is the complete and original Shakti, and Krishna is the Purusha, that is, he controls and inspires Shakti. So Radha's desire is to serve Krishna according to his desires. So when you serve someone's desires. And it's intimate, they reveal their heart. After this discussion, Babaji observed that it was quite late at night, and asked Vrajanath to return to his home. Vrajanath offered Dandavat Pramam, Pranam at Babaji Maharaj's feet, and walked towards Dilva, Pushkarini, in a blissful mood. Day by day, Vrajanath's moods were changing. This very much alarmed his family members, and his paternal grandmother decided to get him married as soon as possible. She started looking for a suitable match, but Vrajanath always stayed aloof from these matters, did not breathe the conversations regarding marriage. Rather, he remained constantly absorbed in contemplating the various tattvas that he learned from Babaji Maharaj. He was naturally drawn to Babaji Maharaj and Sri Vasangam. He wanted to realize those tattvas he heard and was greedy to hear ever new nectarian teaching. So next Wednesday, we'll study Jiva Tattva. That's the next subject. Any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Atmananda.
Atmananda, thank you so much for being on. This class is, it's a little esoteric and, you know, it's kind of not as interesting for people, but thank you. Any questions, Atmananda?
Yes.
One second. Ananda, what's the question?
The Sandini Samvit and Padini. This is coming from the Chitshakti. These are like aspects of the Chitshakti.
No, I think it's coming from the Group Shakti. Unless there's something else, it seems, I like how it was presented here, that
The three manifestations of the Swarup Shakti are Chit, Jiva, and Maya, the spiritual world, the material world, and the living entity. And there are three functions. There's three manifestations and three functions. So the three manifestations are Jiva Shakti, Chit Shakti, the spiritual world, Jiva Shakti, the marginal, and Maya Shakti. Those are the three functions of the Swarup Shakti are the Ladini, Sambhu, and Sandini. So it's described when the Sandini Shakti influences the Maya Shakti manifestation, then that's the material world. When the Samvit Shakti influences it, it's material knowledge. And when the Ladini Shakti, it's material pleasure. So it seems it's so confusing because they use the same terms for different things. So your question is, was what?
Well, I think, you know, you clarified it there. Because I was asking, like, the Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini aspect, is that a manifestation? Is it coming from the Chit Shakti? So Swarup Shakti, is that synonymous with Purna Shakti or Radha?
It's coming from the Swarup Shakti, and sometimes... And the spiritual potency is best to call it the Chit Shakti. But the Swarup Shakti is not just the Chit Shakti, it's also the Jiva Shakti, and it's also the Maya Shakti. And from that Swarup Shakti, it has three functions. The three functions, the three manifestations are Jiva, Maya, and Chit. And the three functions that influence those are the cognitive potency, Samvit, the existential potency by which things exist, Sandini, and the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. Okay, I'm going to that's okay?
Yes, thank you. And so the Ladini Shakti, now, the function in relation to the Jiva Shakti of Ladini, what does that produce?
The Ladini Shakti is a function of the Swarup Shakti, right? So what's the question?
So when that Ladini Shakti is in contact with the Jiva, is that same?
When it's in contact with the Jiva, it becomes Brahmananda.
Brahmananda.
It becomes the pleasure of Brahman. When the Samvit Shakti influences the Jiva, it's knowledge of Brahman. And when the Sandini Shakti influences the Jiva, somehow the Brahman manifests. I don't understand that, but that's just what it says.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Apananda. Anybody else like to ask a question or say hello?
Hi, Ba Maharaj.
Who's this?
This is Tiffany from the Bhakti Center. Last in the past.
It's Tiffany.
Yeah. Haribo.
Oh, okay, Tiffany. What's your last name?
Thomas. We met at the Bhakti Center. I know Abhi, everybody. I haven't heard from you
in about a year. What happened?
I know. I've been listening, but I haven't been able to be on live. I've been to the Bhakti Center, but it's just off time.
Okay, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we meet sometime before, okay?
100%, yes. Okay.
Okay. Great to hear
when
from
are you.
You
there?
Thank you.
You too.
I'll be back in about 2 weeks. I do give a class on a Saturday on the Nectar of Devotion.
Okay.
And you're welcome. You're welcome to come.
Okay. Yeah, in 2 weeks I'll be here.
Okay, that's July 11th, and also on July 12th, I have a program called Sadhu Sunday at Yoga Maya. So you're also welcome to come to that. That's like a brunch and some kirtan and some talk. It's really sweet.
Okay,
do you have
yes.
my email?
Do
you
yes,
have my
I
email?
Do. Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Please just drop me a line. Nice to hear from you again.
Okay. You too. Haribo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your class.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end for today. Who is that?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Rajaraja.
Oh, Rajaraja, you're welcome. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Of course. Okay. Haribo.
Haribo.
Okay, once you talk to the group, just so I can...